With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Here you go. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to another episode of Cabali and Mac. We're midweek between a disappointing loss to the Bengals and an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to maybe exact a little revenge on the team that employed him for 18 years, the Green Bay Packers. We're going to get into all of it today. We got a special mystery guest joining us in about 25 minutes. Cabali's mad that it's not much of a mystery anymore. At least he doesn't think it is.
Well, you did give it away.
Nobody gave it away. What was given away? Anyway, thanks for joining us. We appreciate each and every single one of you that check in with us, whether you do it live or the recorded version on YouTube and at. We really do appreciate yins. And I mean that sincerely. First, I got to thank Southwest Greens. They've been on board since the very beginning, continue to support the show. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized because it ain't grass. It's artificial grass, but this ain't like the green carpet that got rolled out on your grandparents' back patio. It was like this thin, like the Three Rivers Stadium turf. No, this looks, acts, and feels like real grass, perfect for the entire family so you can enjoy the lawn year-round without having to mow, water, maintain, fertilize, all that nonsense. Safe for the kids, safe for the pets, and enjoyable for the entire family. Go check it out right now, southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you, and they'll get on over there and hook you up, whether it's a little tiny corner of the yard, just around the kids' play set, maybe an area for the dog, maybe a little area for you to practice your putting during the winter. When you're not going to be getting out on the golf course as much, or the whole damn yard, southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. We went over some numbers last night, Kaboom. We were trading late night texts, which sounds weird, but it wasn't. 32% more views on YouTube in the last 4 weeks than the 4 weeks before that. 24% more watch time in the last 28 days than 28 days before that. The numbers keep going up on this goofy thing that we just started on a whim back in January. And seriously and sincerely, we thank each and every one of you that checks in on us, whether it's goofy BS about the worst version of Biff Tannen or whatever else is going on in the world, including the Stillers. We appreciate you. So cheers. Thank you.
Oh, there's your black coffee, Mr. Tough Guy.
Yep. Look at that. Totally black. Nothing.
Nothing like the black coffee.
Nothing in there. See? Just coffee. Oh, yeah. Like a real man. Like a real man.
I think my old man used to, I put hair on your back.
Yeah, it does. Can't confirm.
Maybe you should put some on your head. Yeah.
Woo! Woo! He's on fire this morning, folks. He must have been awake for a while.
I showered. That was my once a month shower, so yeah.
Go out in the driveway and get hosed off, huh? Get the old pressure washer out. But seriously, thanks to each and every one of you for supporting the show. We appreciate it. Did you see? Not only did the Penguins win last night, kaboom. We'll get to the Stillers and what Mike Tomlin had to say in a second. Not only did the Penguins win in emphatic fashion last night against the Vancouver Canucks, but up there in the box with the beard, Brett Kiesel, we had an Aaron Rodgers sighting. We had a Mason McCormick and Zach Frazier sighting. There's a Will Hard on the end there. That was a big Stillers night out at the Pens game alongside Brian Trottier and Jay Caulfield there.
You can't leave out Zach Frazier, right?
I mentioned Zach. I said McCormick and Frazier.
I saw a couple other guys there, too. Spencer Anderson was there. And
was he going like this the whole time?
You know what? I saw somebody post a video, and he saw somebody post a video, and he was just, like, glaring at him. So I saw Ryan McCollum was there, too. No Sam Allu. There's a shock, right?
Mr. Personality.
And I didn't see Fatanu. I didn't see Broderick. Maybe he's mad at Broderick.
No, we'll get...
He's mad at Broderick. That's why he wasn't there.
You covered that pretty well in the story you wrote yesterday, and there was some actual football nuggets in there too that I want to get to a little bit later if we have.
Yeah, time. I mean, he's going to talk more about it today, Rodgers, and apparently I think the video looked worse than what it was. I don't think he was upset at all. There might have been a little bit shaking going on beforehand, a little. They got him roughed up a little bit, but that was a lot to do about nothing.
At the Pens game last night, Pens won 5-1. Sidney Crosby passed Mario Lemieux on the all-time points list, regular season and playoffs. And I think the Penguins, it's very early in the season, but they might not be terrible, Mark. Yeah. They might not be awful.
Yeah, good job for Crosby. You know, a little golf clap. All he needs is 2,000 more points to get to Gretzky. But
why you got to put it that way? You're such an ass.
Well, it puts it
even perspective. Even admitted after the game when Potash was interviewing him about passing Mario. He's like, yeah, well, it took me 500 more games, but you know, I got there.
Yeah, I mean, it just puts in perspective not only what Gretzky was able to accomplish, but the era he played in as well, too.
Same with Mario too, right? Like if Mario's healthy for his entire career, you extrapolate the numbers out, he's not far off Gretzky's pace either. And if we had our old pal Dave Damashek here, we would talk about how Mario is pound for pound the best all-time player in the history of hockey, not Wayne. But we're not going to go down that path today.
Let's put this into Steelers perspective. If this was the Steelers, wouldn't you be pissed off because they're having a chance of losing your Penn State guy with the number one overall pick? Well, they're not going to win anything anyway, so they shouldn't just tank it.
No, I don't necessarily.
Well, we heard that all offseason, right?
Well, Steelers because offseason. The anticipation was going to be that they were going to be really bad. Now,
I'm talking about Steelers offseason. It was like, just tag it and you can get the number one pick next year.
Yeah, no, see, that's ridiculous. No. The Steelers have never been in a position to tank and probably never will be. So that whole concept is always flawed from the very beginning, and I'm not on board with it. As for the Penguins, they have beaten some... not as quality teams, you know. Anaheim.
They still count. They still
there was
count.
An Islanders win in there. But Vancouver's pretty good. We'll see. We'll see where things take them. But a 5-2 start to the season, it's pretty unexpected.
Which, you know, what I said about potentially Pat Meyer turning this offensive line around, he does it from year to year. Mm-hmm. Seems like our boy forget his name now. The general manager.
Dubas?
Dubas! I was thinking Bausman. Dubas all of a sudden seems like he knows what he's doing.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they keep the young guys up instead of sending them back to juniors, things like that. I don't watch it.
I don't watch Penguins because it's not on YouTube TV and I'm not buying that goofy, terrible app anymore.
Got to get you some bootleg cable. I'll give you the link. See if it works.
Just give me the password.
No, it doesn't work like that. I can't just give you the password. It's not that simple. I could see you trying to set it up, man. God, it'd be a disaster.
Wait, I almost bit my tongue there, so I better not say any more.
Don't, because I never know what you're going to do and who you're going to throw under the bus. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. They've been doing it in the Pittsburgh area for 4+ decades. Since the president and founder, Don, got things up and running, his family continuing to bring excellent service to you if you need interior painting, exterior painting. If you got a business, they'll do commercial and industrial painting too. Coming into your house, they'll give you a color consultation, do the drywall repair, tell you exactly what they think is going to look great, maybe get you some fresh curb appeal on the outside of your house as well. Check them out online today, HigginsProfessional.com. And schedule that free estimate, 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. All right, let's get into what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday. There was one part in particular that stuck out to me, and it was a couple successive questions. It started with the dean of Pittsburgh reporters. I call him that. The hardest working man in Pittsburgh sports anyway, Jeff Hathorn of The Fan. Congratulations, Marconi Award winning. 93.7 The Fan, by the way.
Does that mean I get something for that?
No.
I don't take credit for it. Like, never mind.
Anyway, so Jeff asked a question about the difficulties in the run game this year, particularly against Cincinnati. And we got the same old, your favorite thing from Mike Tomlin, gap integrity. But then he did go on, because Tim Benz followed up with a question about the run game as well. He went on to simplify things just a little bit, and it kind of was the through line and thread for his entire talk about the defense yesterday.
Simple, guys. You know, you can have a couple of plays and create a catastrophic day. They had a 25-yard run and a 37-yard run, but that's all that's required. You get those big runs, they flip the field. They put them in scoring position. They change the trajectory of your strategy, et cetera. And so, you know, it's not 60 snaps we're talking about here. But in our business at this level, one or two plays are the difference between having a good day and a catastrophic day.
So I went back and checked because I was curious about games where they've given up long runs. And there's only been two games where the Steelers have given up a run of 20 yards or more. Do you want to guess which two games those were, Mark?
Probably Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was the Jets.
He just got done talking about it.
I thought you meant two other teams.
No, two games Seattle. The Steelers have given up at least a 20-yard rush in are the only two games they've lost. Mm-hmm. In every other game, they have not given up a rush of 20 yards or longer. So it directly correlates in a way. And I'm not saying wins and losses are going to be dictated by whether you give up a long run at some point or not, because that could be an anomaly. Who knows when in the game it happens, how it happens, quarterback scramble, whatever. But I do think it's interesting that again, was sort of the through line and the thread of everything he was talking about on the defensive side of the ball. He was asked about coverage schemes and all that. It's hard when people are running on you because it affects the rest of the defense. It's multiple levels, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the one commonality between the games that they've lost and the games that they've won is giving up at least one run of 20 yards or longer. It happened, as he noted, twice against Cincinnati.
So I think that's a coincidence. I don't really read a lot into it. Just because they have a 20-yard game, they're going to lose the game or anything like that. I mean, I see stats about, oh, if Darnell Washington plays 40 snaps, they win the game. And he stopped the 30. He only had 37. If that's the case, you play him the first 40 snaps and just say, okay, we win the game. So I don't really buy that. But another thing I don't really buy is this is absolutely only goes for the run game. You can be a great offensive lineman and get whacked one time really bad by a Myles Garrett and you look like you had a terrible game. You could shut down T. Higgins the entire game and allow an 80-yard touchdown pass, and all of a sudden, guess what? You had a terrible game. This is just how the professional game is. You almost have to be perfect or you stink. You're either great or you stink. There's not really much in between. If you give up that big play It comes down to that, the big play. If you don't give up the big plays, you win. If you do, you don't. And I think that goes with everything. I mean, you look at Broderick Jones. He hasn't given up that. He's given up one sack this year. No, four sacks this year. Only one penalty. He had like nine penalties last year. Those things build on top of one another, and all of a sudden, you know, you could have a good game, and it's not really like that. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's an end-all, be-all. If you just stop a 35-yard game, you win the game.
Yeah, no, look, there's the old Mark Twain saying, I think it is. Stan Saverin used to repeat it all the time. There's three kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics. You can get numbers and stats to say anything you want them to. So, I'm not drawing a direct correlation and saying, well, if you don't give up a run of 20 yards or more, you're going to win the game, guaranteed, or vice versa. If you don't give one up, you're guaranteed, or if you do give one up, you're guaranteed to lose. All I'm saying is, I think it's an interesting perspective to look at it from, because this defense, I think, is 17th in the league against the run. They've been a little bit more consistent against the run than maybe we originally think. When we just sit down and think back on the first six games of the season, we might look at it and go, man, this run defense sucks when it sucks. But it's also very good when it's very good. The one thing we've seen week to week, other than, again, a Carson Wentz, three quarters of a Carson Wentz game and a Dylan Gabriel game, is that the pass defense is still getting carved up. 31st in the league against the pass. And that's the issue. I think as much as Cam Hayward wants to say it post game, as much as Mike Tomlin wanted to say it yesterday, you can't really excuse what's happening to the secondary with, oh, we got beat in the run game, and so it trickled out to the secondary.
I mean, I hate to really go down this route because people are going to just probably laugh at me. Watching that game again and again, to me, it just seemed like to me that Joe Flacco was just on point. He knew it was coming. Maybe that is the issue. He knew it was coming before it happened. Not only did he know it was coming, he knew where to go, and he was accurate enough to hit it. You can play as good a defense as you want, and if you have balls that he threw Flacco on a consistent basis in that game, I know he's 41. I know he hasn't really played a lot over the past 8 years, but sometimes you do have to chalk it up that the guy just played a hell of a game.
Well,
people don't want to hear that. And no. I understand why you don't want to hear that. But Flacco played a hell of a game.
I also think there's something to be said. And again, this isn't in the way of making excuses for the secondary. They didn't play well enough. But I heard it said by somebody in the last couple of days, you know, you target a guy 23 times, you know, if you were to hold him to 12 or 13 catches, that would be considered a success. Okay, Jamar Chase had more than that. I get it. And they showed very little ability to stop him. But I guess to back up your point to an extent, Flacco played really well, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do every time.
And he knew what they were doing. I mean, it's not like they didn't switch things up. It didn't look like they weren't, you know, there was pre-snap reads. There was disguises. There was a lot of that stuff. There was a lot of maneuvering by Terrell Austin there, but maybe it wasn't advanced enough to get into Joe Flacco's kitchen.
And that's the point I was going to make, is that, you know, when you – it sounds crazy to say this, but when you step up in weight class, I guess, from Wentz and Gabriel to Flacco, I know that, again, doesn't initially compute, but Flacco playing well is better than both of those guys. And he's got a familiarity with your defense. It's not altogether different from what he's seen in years past. Then you've got to step up your game and come with something more creative and different that maybe he hasn't seen before. Maybe something you've never put on tape before. And I know what you're saying. They tried some disguises, but they tried a couple things here and there. But there was nothing during that game that screamed out to you that they were confusing the Bengals offensive line or Joe Flacco at all. They weren't.
He knew it was he knew it was happening. And that's why, I mean, Ramsey might not have had the best day possible, but he was put in a position where You know, he wasn't getting any help whatsoever in the slot, and Flacco knew what was coming. The safeties were, you know, playing off coverage, and it was just – I don't think they – you know, somebody mentioned Tebow in the comments here. I don't think they might have respected Flacco could do that on a consistent basis. And I bring up Tebow because even though Tebow did that, you know, 13, 14 years ago, Tebow was like 7 of 35 in that game. And he just, I mean, the bottom line was Dick LeBeau thought he couldn't do it until finally he did it. As for Bortles, they just ran all over him. But that's beside the point on that one. But I just don't think, in a way, they respected Flacco. But in the way, I don't think they thought that he can do that over a four-quarter span.
Yeah, I don't think they respected him enough to dial up anything that, again, like I said, was super creative or would have confused him because maybe he hadn't seen it on tape before. That's something I'm looking for against the Packers on Sunday night. So in that case, we'll see if they do or not. Got to thank our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show as well. They've been great to us. Don't forget, they got their Halloween special right now, 15% off any Halloween nails and nail art. So your better half, your significant other, maybe you got a teenage daughter, they want to get something done for Halloween. Get in there now, get 15% off any Halloween nails and nail art. Lakeview Square on 19 in McMurray Peters Township area, right next to Juniper Grill. You can book everything online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudio2.com. Now open Mondays as well from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. So open 7 days a week. We appreciate them supporting the show here on Kabbalion Mac. You mentioned the offensive line earlier, and you also wrote extensively about the offensive line yesterday. It started with, you know, asking guys about the Broderick Jones thing with Aaron Rodgers.
Because he's a big part of their turnaround.
Yeah, the entire line is, because they've all had so many snaps together now. But I cherry-picked a couple of numbers that you threw in towards the end of this piece you wrote yesterday that I think are really important to note. One, they've gone over 100 yards in each of their last three games rushing, averaging 126 during that span. And Jaylen Warren went over 100 yards for the first time against the Bengals. Here's the one that really stuck out. Rodgers hasn't been sacked in each of the last two games. They have cleaned that up to a large degree, and against at least Cleveland, a really good defensive front. So they're keeping Rodgers clean. He's got time to set up back there or move around, which he looks much better moving around. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that the offensive line, and again, you wrote about it to a large extent yesterday, is starting to come together at just the right time. 11 of 12 for 103 yards in that jumbo formation too, 28 carries for 178 yards, and Jaylen Warren had a long run out of the Isley's formation, as you won't allow me to call it. But the offense, the general point here is the offensive line has got their shit together.
Yeah. And another thing is they only had two sacks in the last three games. And you remember, I think it was the first play of the game against the Vikings, they gave up a sack. So for the most part, that's been one sack over three games that they have allowed. And I think a lot has had to do with, and the other number I threw out there, they've played 99.2% of the snaps together. I mean, some of those are late game sits by Seumalo of a series. One of them, I think Seumalo might have lost his shoe and he had to come off. That's why we were so interested, or at least I was so interested in them getting some time together in the preseason, which we did not see one snap from. They're playing together exclusively now, and it looks like they're finally at least figuring it out a little bit now. And it should get better. I mean, it shouldn't get worse because there's talent there.
Yeah, as Corey said on YouTube after coming over from Facebook Live, as he pointed out, the offense is turning it up, the defense turning it down. As you pointed out the other day, this defense does have a history, though, of when something goes, when one part of the game in particular goes really wrong one week, they will typically get it together the following week. And, you know, I would suspect that the first thing they're going to focus on is shutting down the run. I mentioned that 20-plus yard rush number. The Packers don't have a running back with a 20-yard or longer run this year. Josh Jacobs is averaging less than 4 yards a carry. He's still been steady. He's still been solid. Yes, he's still got 8 touchdowns through the first 6 games. I'm not saying Josh Jacobs isn't good and isn't capable of taking over if he gets going, but that'll be their first directive Sunday night is going to be shut down the run, limit Jacobs' damage to 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, and then from there, they can settle into everything else they want to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely that and penalties, too. I mean, they bring the refs in every single week, and they just stand there. It's not like they do anything, and maybe it's just a mental note. But they had a couple significant penalties in that game. I think Tomlin even mentioned one of them yesterday that really, I think, changed the overall trajectory of that game. I mean, especially the 4-pointer one with the tush-push.
Yeah.
That was right off the heels of the Frazier hold. But, you know, they overcame the Broderick Jones hold after he tackled Aaron Rodgers. But there's right a couple things.
Rodgers, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Aaron needs to, you know,
give it anticipate back to him. How's that going to work out?
No, anticipate. Oh, trust me. If Aaron Rodgers, what he does better than anybody I've ever seen before is he messes with those. He has some great mental warfare. He picks and picks and picks and picks, and it's all in good nature. But it's kind of funny to see it up close, especially like a Zach Frazier who can just – he's like a big teddy bear, right?
Yeah, none of those guys seem to take him too personally.
No, they all – they're not a guy that doesn't love him.
No.
But he gets back at him. Don't worry.
Real quick, want to thank Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Get your furnace checked out before it gets too cold out there. Cold. Get a hold on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. You can message them there or give them a call, 412-297-1852. That furnace checkup this time of year, they'll cut the price in half from $79.99 to $39.99 if you donate a new clothing item, children's clothing item, or a new toy, and they'll make sure the Foster Project gets it to support families with foster children in their homes. Check them out, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. Special mystery guest is ready to go. The mayor of Hammer, Don Ton.
There he is.
Mr. AP Tone himself. Tone Diggs joining the show. I know you guys are super busy every morning getting ready for your own show, Tone. So we appreciate you taking the time, brother.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate Impact HVAC. That's an incredible deal. And I also saw Archie's wings scrolling across the bottom. When I was in school, living in the South Side, I believe it was 10-cent wings. If you bought a Yingling, it was Yings and Wings on Wednesdays, 80 cents. Whoa. Inflation's crazy, boys.
Hey, I'm going to have to talk to Arch and bring the Yings and Wings back. No, the Iron and Wings back.
Oh, it was so good. It was awesome. But no, it's a pleasure having you guys have me on. I appreciate it. Seriously.
No, we appreciate it, man. One of the things Mike Tomlin talked about yesterday, I don't know how much of his press conference you got to see, Tone. He has no idea who the hell cuts his grass. Here we are. We are still talking about grass, Tone. This was a bone of contention last week.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a bone of contention with our University of Pittsburgh friends. I caught nowhere near the flack that you did for agreeing with what you said, but it was funny how once Ben came out and said, no, they should probably have their own stadium, things quieted down just a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it did. Ben didn't get the same flack that we got, and I honestly just, in the moment, Boz misses that field goal because he slips or whatever. And I sent out a simple tweet about, you know, one, Pitt shouldn't play there, and two, grounds crew, figure it out. I did not expect the groundswell that came after that. So once I started getting attacked by the Pitt fans, and then I'm not very good at when I start getting attacked at just turning the cheek or whatever. So then I sent out the tweet, well, you know, if Pitt fans cared this much about the actual team, more than 20,000 fans would show up, and then they got real pissed about
it. Real mad when you mentioned attendance.
So it kind of turned it was not meant to initially attack them, but it's definitely turned it definitely turned into that. And then it got real quiet after Ben said what he said. But my whole thing was like, I mean, we've been doing this for how many years? Like,
yeah,
Akershire, Hines, wherever, like for years we've been the laughingstock of the NFL for the turf. Like, I don't care whose fault it is. Just at this point, figure it out. It's 2025. Okay. Like, we should be able to figure out the field.
Tom, where do you sit with this Pittsburgh Steelers team? I know you tend to live in the moment.
I do. I do.
So where's that moment telling you they're at right now?
So going into last week, I said, if they're the same team as the last few years, they're going to lose this game. And if they are a team that can actually make a deep run like teams of the past, they will put the Bengals away early and often. It'll be a fun Thursday night. And that didn't happen. It was a classic, you know, Steelers of the last 5 years performance. I don't know. I was bummed out. I was bummed out because I thought, you know what, this team's different. And the offense looked great, which was awesome. The offense looked great last year in Cincinnati. But they just I don't understand how the defense can look like world beaters the last few weeks. And I know it was against lesser quarterbacks or whatever, but like still, like they didn't even show up. So I'm a bit bummed out. But if you would have said like, hey, next two games, Bengals, Packers, which one do they lose? I probably would have always said the Bengals game, even though they are the worst of the two teams. But that's just what they do.
Yeah, it's hard to stay positive when you're flying high and 4-1. Yeah. You got a chance to almost salt the division away before Halloween, and then you drop one. But I think if you would have told any of us, Tone, like back in mid-August, hey, they're going to start the season 4-2, and they're going to have a 3-game lead over the Ravens.
Yep,
we'd all taken that.
For sure. For sure. I probably would have chalked up that Bengals game as a loss. Like if 4-2, the Bengals game always probably would have been a loss. And then, you know, maybe the Ireland game would have been a loss too. Who knows? Because Seattle was coming to Pittsburgh. But no, I 4-2, like, yes, definitely, absolutely would have taken it. If you would have told me how Aaron's playing, definitely would have taken it. The offensive line seems to be improving. Definitely would have taken it. Early in the season, I was frustrated with the rush defense because that was horrendous or whatever. And then, you know, the defense has been so far, I think, of the season, the letdown. The first few weeks with the rush defense, and then last week they didn't look like they knew what they were doing. But no, I mean, 4-2, definitely would take it. Going into Green Bay at home, yeah, I mean, definitely would have taken it.
Tone, nobody knows Aaron probably more than you and the boys, right? Did you see any inkling of this type of play out of a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers when he signed here in, what was it, May or June? Or is this even surprising everybody back there at the old Thunderdome?
I don't know. I don't know if it's surprising because, like, when I think you were on and I said, like, the one of the main benefits is going to be that he's going to come in and he's seen every defense that has ever been created ever. And he's going to be able to get them in the right place and get the ball out quick. And he's going to help the young offensive line. So, like, that's been awesome. Did I expect him to still be able to throw the ball 70 yards? No, I mean, that shocked me. And like the whole shots to DK down the sideline when he gets those chances and stuff like that, the back shoulder throws that he's had to Calvin Austin when he's been healthy. Like, I had questions about that, but so yes, pleasantly surprised about that stuff. But what I knew and thought he would do is get them in the right place, get the ball out quickly, not make bad decisions, which, you know, he made one or two of those against Cincinnati. I think the one down the sideline to DK, he was just feeling it and just trying to see what he could get away with that whole game. And then the other one, you know, was kind of a fluke interception or whatever. But no, I pleasantly surprised with how well he is throwing the football. But I always knew, like, he's one of the smartest quarterbacks of all time. He's going to get us into the right situation, I always thought.
And he's moving, like, maybe not like peak Aaron Rodgers right now, but, I mean, he's moving like 2021 Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, he's still got some wheels back there. And the offensive line we just got done talking about, Tone, has really improved over the last few weeks. They're starting to finally gel and come together. Like, I didn't suspect that the offense would really start to click and hit their stride until maybe, you know, week 7, week 8, maybe even further into the season. And the fact that they're clicking right now is even more promising, I think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Arthur Smith knows what he's doing, okay? Like, people question him or whatever.
Be careful.
Maybe he knows what he's doing, okay? He made Ryan Tannehill a Pro Bowl quarterback. He made our quarterbacks last season I mean, looked semi-decent. Neither one of those two are playing right now. What he is doing with Big Mount Washington and bringing Spencer Anderson in as the seventh offensive lineman, if you want to count Darnell, and all the – like, I've got no problem what he's doing with all those tight ends, because obviously the tight end room is better than the wide receiver room. So if you want to get more of those guys on the field, that's fine with me. Jaylen Warren had his best game last week. He's awesome. Like, yeah, I love what the offense doing. And I hats off to Artie Smith, because I think what he's doing, he knows what they have and then he knows what they're good at. So yeah, Artie has been awesome so far this year.
Now, have you let Dano off the hook yet with his 0-6, or are you still waiting to needle him even a little bit more?
No, we kind of buried the hatchet a few weeks ago, because I mean, he did say that before Aaron came. But I still don't, like, even after Aaron came, he was still not he wasn't talking very highly of the team or the offense. So I'm not going to let him completely off the hook. He did say, yeah, I put him in the playoffs. He did say that after Aaron came, but he also said they're going to get blown out in the first round, which, if this is the same team as the last few years, that's, you know, there's a chance that happens.
Tone, you love college football as much as the next guy. And yeah. I love the college football preview guide you put out. Absolutely loved it. What do you make of what's going on up the road at my alma mater here, man? I thought it was clever by James Franklin on game day to kind of let Saban do the whining and the complaining. Yeah. Same agent, all that kind of stuff. It makes sense. But like, what do you make of that? Just the state that thing is in right now, because they've gone from number two in the country to, man, good luck with bowl eligibility, because you still got Ohio State and Indiana on the schedule.
It's insane, because obviously the Oregon loss happens, which I don't think anyone was shocked at. That would be kind of par for the course for James Franklin and Penn State over his tenure. So like, the Oregon loss happens, and then you go to UCLA. And, you know, they've got their interim coach situation and Neuheisel and that whole thing. They're rolling. So, like, even that one was, like, obviously shocking. You're a 24-point favorite, like, shocking. But then the Northwestern one for me, which is obviously what ended up getting him fired, was like, all right, you come back home. You still only have two losses. If you run out, you have a good chance still making the playoff. Like, the Northwestern one was insane, because they brought back everyone, basically everyone, except for Abdul Carter on the defensive side. Like, I have no idea how that happens, to be honest with you. Like, the Oregon one, for sure, whatever. Like, that's fine. But then to let those next two happen, I don't even come close to knowing how to explain that.
Who do you think who would you pick? I mean, who do you think would be the front runner going to Penn State right now?
Like,
I mean,
Rhul checks all the boxes, but you can't hire Rhul because he's James Franklin. Like, he's just James Franklin, who grew up and went to Penn State. Like, Rhul hasn't had a great past of beating top teams either or anything like that. Like, I mean, Braum would be awesome, but are you going to get him out of Louisville? Like, that's where he went. He's in the Ring of Honor there. I think I'm a big Kenny Dillingham fan. Are you going to get him out of Arizona State, where he went? Like, a lot of these guys who you're going to go after or whatever are happy where they're at. And you're Penn State, so you can call anybody. But, like, I don't see Lane leaving the SEC. Matt Campbell makes sense, because he's done an incredible job at Iowa State with less than what you're going to have to deal with at Penn State. I was thinking, like, guys that have turned not and Penn State doesn't need turned around. They just need that next level. Like,
right.
Lance Leipold, a guy who he was awesome. He's won national championships at Leipold's kind of got the DeBoer route, where he started D3, D2, has won every single where he went. He brought Kansas. Kansas has won like two games in 10 years before Leipold got there. But like, he's 61, 62. Do you want to hire a guy in his 60s? So I am very, very interested to see which direction they go.
I love the Dillingham name. I know, like you said, are you going to get him to leave his home state and all that? But man, that guy, every Sunday morning or Monday, I open up Twitter and I see a Kenny Dillingham clip that just makes me want to run through a wall.
Well, and Mac, like, what did Penn State fans hate about Franklin? He didn't score enough, and he didn't beat great teams, top five teams. Like, that's why Braum would be the best, because Louisville is the longest streak in college football of scoring like 24 or more points, plus Braum beats. But like, I don't know. Like, you would have to, I don't know, Brom, to know, like, hey, you went to Louisville, you're in the Ring of Honor, you're coaching at Louisville, you're great with quarterbacks. Like, that would be, to me, like, the best hire, but I don't know if you're going to get him out of there.
What about those Duke King Dukes winning four in a row there, Tone?
Once the Dukes get into conference play, they're a wagon. They're absolutely, yes, they front load their schedule against D1 opponents, and they take their lumps, but they get paid. Okay, they learn some lessons, and then once they get into NEC play, oh boy, watch out, Cabals.
Put them up. Here come the Dukes.
Here we go.
There it is.
We got the Dukes helmet.
Oh, if we don't mention Pitt real quick, they're going to get mad at us and say that we're all out.
They're already mad at Tone. So
yeah.
They're playing great football.
I was going to say, like, the way their schedule stacks up, I mean, it's murderer's row at the end of the year. You got Notre Dame, and you got to go down to Atlanta against Georgia Tech, and then you wrap up against Miami. But if they win these next two, I mean, they're going to be in a good spot. They're going to be 7-2, I think, going into those final three games. And look, I really like Georgia Tech, and Miami's still there, but the ACC is one of those conferences like the Big 12 where you never know where you're going to get a random team just pop up in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And for them to get in, they're going to have to win the conference championship. I don't think they're going to get in as an at-large. They're going to be dogs to Notre Dame, and I don't see them beating Notre Dame or Miami probably. But, I mean, for sure they could beat Georgia Tech, like, because they've looked really good, but – Georgia Tech is a running football team. If we know anything about Pitt, like this, especially this year, they stopped the run. It was a great, great win down in Florida State. Great win against Syracuse. Probably going to beat NC State. Listen, I've never had a problem with the football team. It's the people that cheer for the football team. My two roommates after college were both Pitt fans. So, you know, I kind of have a bad taste in my mouth by how they cheered for the team. But no, as a team, like Narduzzi and the team, it's always a good product. They always try really hard.
Look who had to jump in the chat there, Tone. Oh, Philly. Well. Philly boy had to jump in with the H2P.
See, he's one of them. No. Phil is not one of those guys who he knows. Like, but there's a lot of Pitt fans who think, like, hey, this is a top five program in the country, you know? And I was a roommate with one of them. So, but no, I think they're a good – the ACC is – wide open when you Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Pitt, Virginia, like all these, any of these teams can play in the championship. And right now, I think it's a one bid league. So you're going to have to win it.
I mean, first of all, I say congratulations on the success of the Hammer Down show. Right. Second of all is if I'm going to hammer down on something, is anybody going to beat Ohio State? Do they have, first of all, how do they continue to win? They gave up like 17 first round picks last year or something like that. Is there anybody can beat them this year?
So coming into the season, I thought yes, because I thought it was going to be a similar thing to where Michigan had 18 guys drafted or whatever, and then they had the huge drop off, especially on the offensive side. Ohio State, like, when you still have Jeremiah Smith and you still have Carnell Tate, like those guys didn't go anywhere. And then you have Julian Sain, who is, one of the top guys in his class coming out, like, okay, the offense is still going to be fine. And I thought the defense would take a step back. Nope. They just have like 1,005 stars in the waiting who, you know, like JTT, who's on the Colts now. And obviously Jack, who's with us. And Jack has shown flash, like Sawyer's been really good, I thought, when he's got in there. Mm-hmm. But like those guys weren't like the most athletic guys. Now they have these dudes on the outside who are just absolute freaks who are causing more pressures and stuff like that than the last defensive line did. So yeah, I don't know. Patricia's done a great job on the defensive side. I don't know who stops them, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, that defense is like, cause Alabama's is potentially up there, but like, other than that, they are so good.
Yeah, I don't know if the SEC has a ton of teams at the top, but I don't know if they have any one team that stands out and could step on the gas against Ohio State. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out.
Maybe the IU boys here, a little down south.
I was going to mention them, but you know, especially, you know, get them in the Big Ten championship game and then maybe again in the playoffs.
Fast track. Yeah, it's a fast track Big Ten championship game. They looked unbelievable against, and I love Mendoza. He's not going to follow the Steelers, unfortunately, but I love that guy.
Yeah, he's come out of nowhere. It's been great. We're going to let you run, dude. You got a show
to get ready for. I got to ask one question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a goofy one, right? I always do this with the Steelers locker room tone. It's like, if you lock the Steelers locker room and only one person leaves alive, who would that be? In the Thunderdome, you lock the doors. Who's the only person leaving the Thunderdome alive?
Pat.
Good answer.
But if he's not included, AQ's in here today. AQ Shipley's in here today. Yeah. So it would be AQ today. If it wasn't AQ, it'd be Darius Butler. The professional athletes, you know.
Hawk?
Yeah, the professional.
If Hawk's in there on the Friday, is he taking out control?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would think AJ Hawk would probably be okay with the rest of us.
Hawk,
yeah.
Who's the first one out then? Who's the first one?
Evan Fox.
Oh, Foxy taking strays.
Don't tell him.
Right over the top rope with your ass.
He's the lightest. So,
well, tell everybody, Pat, all the boys. Hello. And we appreciate you taking the time this morning, man. Tell whoever wants to jump on next. It's Indie Week next week for the Stillers. So,
it is next week, isn't it?
That's a big one.
They haven't won in Pittsburgh since 2008, in case anybody's forgot.
Not that you didn't have that circled on the calendar. Ready to go next week. We appreciate it, Tone. We'll talk to you soon, bud. Thanks again, Tone.
See you. Have a good day.
Tone Diggs joining us here from the Hammer Don podcast and, of course, the Pat McAfee show as well, AP Tone.
Good answer. The boss.
Yeah, the boss gets out the boss. Alive.
Good answer. He's the only one that leaves.
It's a good point though. The professional athletes, right? Like
Q stuff, man.
Q and Hawk. Yeah.
But if Hawk's in there at the same time with Q, and D-Butt, you can't sell him short.
No.
He's wiry.
Wiry. He's shifty. Wiry. Yeah.
You can't throw him out there. Big D-Bone too. He could be it too. D-Bone with the shot.
Just getting thrown right under the bus.
See, I like Foxy because I'm a ketchup on a hot dog guy too.
Jesus.
So, who doesn't put ketchup on a hot dog?
This guy right here. Mustard and relish, my friend. That's the only way to do it.
You know, I tweeted something. One of my random tweets is the intelligent. Well, no, it was intelligent. What is it? Intelligent people pronounce it catsup. And nobody understood what I was talking about right there. That was obviously King of Queens.
Do you only watch shows that are like on syndication and basic cable? Like, I saw you tweet out the Seinfeld tweet last night.
I just ran across it because we just passed Back to the Future Day. It was like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, it's been 10 years since. It was 2015 that I went into the future. So it was like October 21st, I believe, or something like that. And somehow I come up with June 14th, 1987. It ruined my day. So
must be one magic loogie. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they'll take care of no matter what you're looking for. A bigger home as the family grows, a smaller home as the kids move out, anything in between. Buying or selling in the Pittsburgh area, everywhere you turn, you see another sign for the Dan Heck team. That's because people trust them, and they will get it done for you. Check them out online, all the listings they got there as well. If you're looking for a new home, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate Dan and the entire team supporting the show.
You know, Mac, I don't really bet that much anymore because I lose so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been watching a lot of the Hammer Don show.
They helping you win?
No, I don't. I saw him, but him and Gumpy.
Oh. Every once in a while, like I still bet a little bit here and there, but not as much maybe as I had in past years.
You have to be not afraid to lose money to bet, and I'm always afraid to lose money.
Well, I just what I've done in the last couple of weeks is for whatever reason, you know, when you join up like five or six different sports books online, they'll all send you promotions every once in a while, and a couple of them sent me like free $10 bets here and there, and I always do it on something stupid. Like
a 36 leg parlay.
No, it was something stupid but simple the other night. Like when Tampa was down 7-0, I bet Tampa to have the next score. I'm like, well, the Bucs aren't going to get blown out by the Lions.
That's because you didn't want to stay up and watch the whole game. You just wanted the instant gratification.
That too. The instant gratification is nice, but I did stay up and watch that whole game, despite what else was going on Monday night. Oh, well, between the Battle Royale, the baseball game, and the Battle Royale to find CM Punk's contender for the heavyweight championship at Saturday night's main event.
Oosh.
I really thought they were going to have Dom. Once it was down to those two, I thought it was going to be Dirty Dom.
I would like to put three belts on Dom. That would be great.
All the belts.
You got two.
I mean, see how much you can do to just continue driving him as a heel and people still cheering for him.
Plus, you have a Survivor Series in his hometown of San Diego coming up.
Something has to happen there, right?
I saw LeBar, and I was talking to LeBar a couple days ago, and it was like a little span of wrestling where it was like, well, hey, we got to get through this. The Crown Jewel stuff we got to do.
Yeah.
This WrestlePalooza we had to do because of the app. Now it looks like they're getting back into the legitimate storyline.
Yeah, right, I was going to say, I was doing a lot of the not watching the shows live for probably like 5-6 weeks there. And just watching the highlights after the fact, because it was like a holding pattern for 2 months. Yeah. And now it's like, we'll get to run the Survivor Series, and then it'll be a little lull again for the holidays with a Saturday night's main event mixed in there somewhere.
Well, and this whole thing called like John Cena's final match.
Yeah, they still haven't really hinted at what direction that might go.
It's going to be Gunther.
Why Gunther?
Because he's the next. I mean, Gunther is a legend. He's held the belt for literally all but like 300 days he's been in the WWE A belt.
So we really had Lesnar come back for a one-off.
What are you talking about? We had The Rock and freaking Travis Scott start this whole thing off. I would like to have it all come back to that, but I don't think that will happen. But
we'll see. Rock's busy at film festivals. Dwayne's got more important things to do. So he's not going to be coming around again anytime soon.
You ever see, what's his name? What's his old booker name from NWO? He has his own podcast now.
Could you be any less specific? Everyone has a podcast now.
Old NWO WCW booker that the freaking Cornette hates. I can't remember his name.
Kevin Nash?
No!
Well, Nash was in charge of booking. I don't know.
Dude that always says, bro. Come on, bro.
I honestly don't know who you're talking about.
Somebody in the comments will know it.
Anyway, what was your point of this?
I don't know, no.
Good job. Not Bischoff. You're not talking about Bischoff, are you?
No, Bischoff's booker, for God's sakes.
Vince Russo.
What did I think of that? Vince Russo has his own podcast, and you see clips of him all the time, and all he does is torch the WWE. And you look at the comments, it's like, yeah, bro, you're just like, you know, you're not bitter on anything.
Russo era at WCW is encapsulated in a nutshell in one clip. And it's Kevin Nash standing in the middle of the ring when they drop the blood from the ceiling and it lands on the mat 6 feet to his right. Like, that was the Vince Russo era in a nutshell. It was a disaster.
And we didn't hog it, Hogan. That's why this company's going to hell.
Yeah, that's right. That might be more of it in a nutshell. Hogan losing his mind.
It was a finger poke.
When they stripped his title. And
but sometimes I watch him and he's just a bitter man.
Who? Russo?
Oh, yeah. Very bitter.
Very bitter. Very bitter.
Oh, because he thought that Cena is going to like go to AEW or something like that after this.
Come on.
Speaking of that, Tony Khan was at the freaking Steeler game last week.
Really?
I said that.
The one in Cincy or the Browns game?
It was the Cincy game. It was the Cincy game. Yeah, it was definitely the Cincy game because I said the Rutter because Rutter's a big mark, right? Last time he was at the Steelers Jags and Rutter ran up to him and was talking to him. But I saw him then I'm like, that's him. That's him. Nobody else saw him. Then I don't know if you know Dan Quinlan. He texted me and he goes, did I just see Tony Khan? I'm like, yeah, you did. He's the producer or the engineer for DVE or whatever, the pregame show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was there. I don't know why, but he was there.
Why? Yeah, that's a great question. By all accounts, Tony is a very nice man. I just don't know if he knows how to cut through and really take any kind of swing, legitimate swing at WWE. It's just a different product.
Nice.
It's a totally different product.
By the way, you gave it away, the hat with the tone.
Well, it could have been. I saw plenty of people in the comments still trying. I saw someone guess Mel Blunt, also noted cowboy hat wearer. I mean, could have been lots of people. I work for a country music station. It could have been some country singer.
Oh, it would have been great if it was Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll does not wear cowboy hats.
I don't know, but I would like to talk to Jelly Roll.
That'd be great to get.
Also, you know, there's a couple guys you would like to just have a beer with. One would be Jelly Roll.
Yes.
Jelly Roll's definitely a beer guy.
I'm going to let you. Well, he doesn't
drink with him. Well,
drink drinks anymore.
Whatever. He can have his.
You take an edible with him. How about that?
Have his O'Doul's or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I'm going to swirl some things around in my head there regarding the Jelly Roll idea. Real quick, since we were talking about, we were talking about feuds and wrestling and everything. One feud came to a head in the last 24 hours in the NFL. I want to bring this up. We'll talk about it for a second. We'll get our Thursday night picks out of the way. But after, did you see the end of the Giants-Broncos game? Which, by the way, we forgot to make picks for Sunday's games.
Yeah, I would have. We did it offline, and I'm five ahead of him now.
You're lying. But hey, it's okay, liabetic. You got liabetes. So the end of the Giants-Broncos game was nuts. I'm sure most of you heard about it by now. If you didn't, go look it up. Just bananas. The Broncos didn't score for three quarters, then scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. And won because the Giants missed an extra point, essentially, is what it came down to. Anyway, after the game, Sean Payton was asked about the Giants and took a nifty little swipe, listen to this, at his former quarterback, who was the backup on the other sideline.
They found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mara not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that change would have happened long after our game.
Okay, so he was hoping that Russell Wilson was still going to be the quarterback for the Giants when they came to Denver. That's essentially what he's saying. You may remember Peyton and Russ did not get along famously in Denver. Plenty of clips of Peyton just berating Russell Wilson on the sideline. Now, you would think Russell Wilson, PR conscious as he is, wouldn't have even acknowledge this, right? Instead, we got a tweet yesterday. Classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media. That's right. Wow.
So many layers.
Really
so many layers.
Wrong to piss off Russell Wilson.
So many layers here, right? First, it's Russell Wilson going public with something like that. Second of all, bring up the old bounty gate from 15 years ago. And then ends it with a couple of emojis and a let's ride. Good for Russell. I know some people say, oh, Russell's piece of fine. He could have ended that statement. Sean Payton was, boy, they found the spark with that that quarterback.
Yeah.
Period. I talked to the owner and I said, shit, I wish we wouldn't have had him out there because the other guy stinks, what he basically said. I mean, you didn't need to go there. I mean maybe I go there because I'm petty, but not a professional head coach.
That, I would not have expected that.
Good for
from
him.
Russell Wilson.
Good for him. You know, there was nobody, honestly, take it for what it's worth, nobody spent more time at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh than Russell Wilson did his year here.
Here's
nobody.
As inauthentic as it seemed at times in the media, I think authentically he really is a good dude. I do. I think Russell Wilson is genuinely a good guy. I just think the way he handles things sometimes gives it that sort of glaze of inauthenticity.
It's okay,
and that's
to be
why
pissed.
People resent. I think this is going to do a lot to bring Russ back to people, where they're like, hey, he isn't a robot. Look at that. He is just kind of like us. He does want to get petty sometimes.
It's okay to snap. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to be pissed. It's okay to be pissed at the world for sometimes. You don't always have to say, golly gee, Whitakers, we're going to get this, you know, even though you're down 60 points in the fourth quarter. I mean,
is it G Whitakers or G Willikers?
Whatever. Depends on where you grow up at. Where I grew up at, it was Whitakers.
Thanks to our bud Arch for supporting the show.
Arch got a call out from Tone. Tone, yeah, so Tone. Did Arch in Impact HVAC. How about that?
We appreciate Tone, shot not Arch. Yes, the wings are 80 cents these days. We're
which
all
are cheap, which are very cheap considered if great you go price. Anywhere else.
Great price. I mean, you get 10 wings and a couple beers if you get something that's on special for less than $20. I mean, that's not bad at all. In fact, it's fantastic. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Monday through Thursday nights down at Archie's on Carson, they got 80-cent wing nights. Great sandwiches, burgers, flatbreads, too. You get a side order of fries. I swear they just give you the whole basket. It's like an – remember how the – you how often did you go to the O in Oakland?
What's that? No, maybe twice in my life.
Okay, but do you remember they would take the whole basket of fries – and just put it on a little thing of cardboard. I swear Archie's gives you a whole damn basket of fries when you order a side of fries. So the portions are generous. The wings are delicious, always fresh. And of course, they got ice cold iron and icy light on tap. I mean, just about as close as you can get to freezing, right, Kaboom, without actually being slushy and frozen. Ice cold iron down there at Archie's. So
iron. So good. Iron. Just slide, you know, get a little spicy wing and it.
Perfect. Hits perfect. If you're going down to watch Thursday night football, perfect place to do that is Archie's on Carson tomorrow night, any night of the week, and all the games are on all the TVs every Saturday and Sunday as well.
And you got the World Series hitting.
That's right. World Series starts Friday night. So Mr. Frontrunner over here is going to be rooting for the Dodgers.
No, sorry. I'm rooting for Team America.
What are the chances if I go look at the rosters? And I meant to do this, and I just didn't have time to sit around and look at Baseball Reference.
I don't care.
If I what are the chances I look at the rosters and the Blue Jays have more American dudes on their roster than the Dodgers?
Ask me if I care. Where do they call home? Where do they pay their taxes at?
Well, they're professional athletes. They pay it all over the league. That's how it works.
Did you watch that Expos documentary?
I didn't. I wanted to, but then I put the Sopranos on. And the Pine Barrens episode.
Oh, the Sopranos. You only watch stuff from the 90s?
That's not what I never said you only watch stuff from the 90s. You only watch stuff that's on in repeats on basic cable. King of Queens. Seinfeld. Right?
I've seen them all, so there's no use watching them. I just watch.
I've seen all the Sopranos, too. It's nostalgia. I'm sorry. It just reminds me of being in college.
Nostalgia.
I'm a big sucker for nostalgia.
Yeah, you could have watched the Expos getting.
Is it good? Because I want to go watch it now. Is it worth it?
Well, I mean, we grew up in that era when they moved, and
yeah,
I mean, you learn things that you probably didn't know. I mean, of how slimy Jeffrey Lurie was trying to.
Jeffrey Luria.
What did I call him?
You said Lurie.
Maybe I just sniffed him when I said Luria. But yeah, they painted him as a slime ball. And I didn't realize how bad Olympic Stadium was.
It was dumped by the end, right?
It was like literally falling apart. There's chunks of concrete falling down, and they wanted a new stadium, and blah 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 blah. And the fire cell. They had Larry Walker. They had Larry Walker. Vlad was on there.
Stacked. They would have won the World Series in '94. You can't.
Oh, look at that outfield, man! They had like Marquise Grissom, Larry Walker, and
Grissom Walker. Yep.
They got a Lou from the Steelers
or the Pirates.
I meant the Steelers. I meant Moises Alou. Felipe Alou was the manager.
Yeah.
Moises Alou. They got him for what? Like Neil Heaton or something like that.
I think it was the Zane Smith trade
that they got
Moises Alou, which it's easy to look back on and say, oh my God, they traded Moises Alou, but it's like, they really needed Zane Smith at the time. So like, I don't. That's not what I'm not going to be revisionist history on the Moise on the Zane Smith trade because they traded away Moises Alou.
Delino DeShields.
Oh, Delino, that's right.
Oh, was Galarraga on that team too? I don't even know if he was in Colorado by then.
No, he would have been in Colorado by then, I think. Hold on, let me double check. Yeah, because Colorado entered the league in 94, and he left in the expansion draft, I think.
Yeah, that's when they dumped everybody, right, 94-ish.
Well, 94 was the year of the strike where they would have, I swear, they would have won the World Series. They were just stacked. All the same names you just threw out there.
Denny Martinez.
Yeah, he's a little earlier, but yeah.
He was.
So
he was
I should go watch this now, is what you're saying.
It's like an hour. It's almost 2 hours. It's not like a series. It's just like a documentary.
Like I said, I'm a sucker for nostalgia. I can't help it. So Moises Alou was traded along with, oh no, he was compensation. He was a player to be named later in the Zane Smith deal. So it was Willie Green, Scott Ruskin, and a player to be named later to the Expos for Zane Smith, and the player to be named later ended up being Moises Alou.
Yeah, Willie Green did nothing. Scott Ruskin was the middle of the bullpen guy. It was okay, I guess.
For what also, he was. Alou, big part of the Steve Bartman documentary.
If it wasn't for Alou, Bartman would be a normal, would be a, just a side note.
Yeah, the guy stole the ball from him. I don't blame him. All right, real quick, let's wrap up. But first, let's get back on board with making picks here. Standings are as such. I am up by just one game.
Oh, yeah.
One game. 56-35-1. You
I
are
told you I picked 30. The freaking Rams.
After it was 14-0.
So?
You can't do that. You got to pick before the game starts, genius. Minnesota Chargers in L.A. tomorrow night. Wentz is starting again. You hate the Chargers, though.
I always hate the Chargers, so I'm picking the Vikings.
Really?
Vikings are starting to fill it. They're starting to fill it, Pepper.
Starting to come together, Pepper? No, I think the Chargers get back on track.
Yeah, because they've got such a great running game.
It doesn't matter. Carson Wentz sucks.
And
did you watch any of that game this weekend? Who did the Vikings play? Jesus, I can't remember now. The Eagles.
Your Super Bowl team.
If they had a quarterback that could throw the ball within 6 feet of Justin Jefferson, they would have won. But Carson Wentz sucks. So I'll go with the Chargers. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We'll do this again on Friday. Another guest joining us.
Who this one is.
What do you mean? Don't know who it is.
I can't remember.
Matt Schneidman. Covers the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Schneid is going to join us to talk about the Packers. We didn't even touch on Micah Parsons yet. I would suspect we get a lot of the extra offensive linemen and Jumbo Isley's package to maybe slow down Micah Parsons. And we'll see if they shut him down the way they shut down Myles Garrett. But plenty to talk about with Schneidman on Friday to complete a week of talking about the Stillers as they get ready for the Packers on Sunday night. We didn't even talk about those terrible throwback jerseys because we ran out of time. They suck. I hate them. There you go. That's my hot take. They're terrible. Any opinions?
My opinion is every Steelers throwback sucks.
No, the block numbers.
Oh, the block letter, block numbers.
Block
yes.
numbers should terrible. Be full-time. They should bring them back. Gray face masks too.
I'm going the opposite. I'm saying the old rounded numbers that looks like they're steamed on with an iron. The Jerome Bettis year one
when they had the black letters for the nameplate instead of the yellow. Yeah, those are awful. All right, that's going to do it for today. We will talk to Ian's again soon. We appreciate all the support on YouTube and all the social media. Search Kabbalion Mac, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Right up.